today I want to talk to you guys about shadow work. Now, shadow work is the practice of going in your psyche and addressing those fears, phobias, those hidden things that you put inside yourself, those really scary thoughts, those taboo things that you kept tucked away, and addressing them, figuring out the root cause, figuring out, basically, like I said, the root cause, and figuring out what we can do to either eradicate whatever this is or coexist with it in a functional way. So there are many ways to go about this. A lot of people go to therapists, and therapy is a good way to get that shadow work done. You know, of course, outside work is always good. In addition to the therapy, cognitive behavioral therapy is good. For the more spiritually inclined, a lot of us, you know, we sit in meditation and literally just reflect on these things, and sometimes they can jump out at us whether we want them to or not, and that's a really good time to address it too, like when it happens. A little vulnerability here. Recently I've had my own journey with that, where I had to do some shadow work, and there was a lot from my past that I had to address that I thought I was getting over and I was healed from, but it turns out that's not the case. So there were a lot of things. I was in the Navy, first off. I was in the Navy, and there were a lot of things that happened during my time in the Navy that really negatively impacted the woman I would become shortly after, and the type of woman that I'm learning to deal with and face now. I'm going to be honest with you. There are a lot of behaviors and things that I see that developed because I was in the Navy that I honestly, I needed, but it wasn't really an easy process. I'm just going to be honest. It wasn't easy. So, pretty recently I had to look inside and realize how many things were impacted. For example, I realized that I was avoiding going to the gym because, I have so many memories at the gym, and that's where I spend a lot of my time in the Navy. But by going to the gym, I would associate it with the Navy and then connect it to some other things that happened while I was in the Navy that weren't so productive or positive as the gym. So, you know, a few days ago, after realizing that's what was going on, I decided I'm going to go to the gym and I'm going to face those thoughts and I'm going to deal with them and figure out how we can move forward from this. You know, what people call it, ego death. That's what people call it. They call it an ego death. That's another name for it you may have heard, where you kill your ego. I personally don't believe in killing your ego because I don't think you can actually kill your ego. The most you can do is come to an understanding with your ego, which is basically your sense of self and, you know, those fears and things like that, like those really basic things. And that's located, by the way, a little science fact for you. The ego, it's located in your amygdala, and your amygdala is in charge of basically, like I said, your fears, your doubts, those silly thoughts that come in your head that really honestly don't make any sense at all. Like those deep, dark things, those things are located in your amygdala. So your amygdala is a body part like anything else. You can work it out, you know, but you can't really get rid of it. You need your amygdala. So you can't get rid of it, but you can find a way to coexist with it. So that's what I do. You want to treat your ego like a child. Your ego is basically a child. Not you. I'm not going to tell you what you want to do, but I treat my ego like a child. So if I see something coming up, I'm not going to ignore it because it's just going to make it worse. I'm going to address it. And I'm going to excuse me. It's like 11:48 p.m. here. I'm going to address it. And I'm going to basically tell myself I understand, but this is what it is. This is the reality of the thing. And by doing that, I've recognized my ego. I've recognized my own thoughts, and I'm not diminishing my thoughts or my feelings, whether they be valid to my like logical mind or not. I'm not ignoring them. It's like I said, it's like a child. Like, I don't want to ignore my child, no matter how silly I think whatever he's talking about is. I don't want to do that. So the same thing there. I learn a lot of patience when it comes to these types of things, and sometimes things get past me. Things get by me. And although it's been about 3 years since the climax of everything happened. It's been about 3 years since the climax of everything. A little over, like almost four. I still find myself finding things out that come from that experience. And that's okay. That's a part of life. That's a part of your self-love journey. That's a part of your shadow work. You're never truly done with it. You're not done with it till you die. Because there are always going to be things to try to test you and try to make you feel some type of way about something. It may not even be intentional. It may just be like, you know, something you saw on TV that negatively impacted you, or, you know, somebody said something accidentally that hurt your feelings. You know, it could be a number of things. There's always reasons why you have to continue to do the work and, you know, pick out those hidden things. So, a lot of times when we're doing shadow work, actually every time we're doing shadow work, we're asking ourselves a bunch of questions, right? And most of them are why. Something really is bothering you, you ask why. I made a video about this before, and that video was a hit. I shouldn't have gotten rid of it. But I'm trying not to use profanity anymore, so I got rid of it. But basically, in the video, I was talking about how if there's something that really negatively affects you, that's a time to ask yourself why. And ask yourself why as many times as you can until you get to the root cause of the thing. So, or if there's like a personality trait that you're like, I don't know if this is productive or not, I don't think this is good. Like, it's good to ask yourself why repeatedly until you hit that point of resistance, and then go past that point. What you're gonna realize is you're gonna get to the solution and you're gonna start crying. And that cathartic moment is what's totally needed in order to move forward and address other underlying issues with ease, because you've started the process. You know how to do it now. You can take care of it now. So that's a good way to do it, asking yourself questions, asking yourself why. Why am I like this? Why do I do this? Even who am I? Like, that's a good question, because that's gonna upset a lot of people, especially like if they don't know, like if they really haven't, you know, if they've been living kind of like with a fog, they've been living in a fog for all this time, like that question will really get you. Another thing too is addressing your inner child. Now, your inner child is another one of those things that we tuck away deep within, because we get older and we're like, oh, that's childish. Oh, well, you know. right? Whatever. So, you know, a good thing to do is address that inner child. Look in the mirror and be like, yo, I love you. I love you. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for hurting you. I'm sorry for tucking you away. I'm sorry for not treating you the way you should be treated. Come out. Let me love you. And help me help you. That right there, oh my God. Like, when I tell you, I've done that a couple of times, actually. Because conditioning. You get taught certain things. You get taught to put things away. You get taught, oh, well, once you get a certain age, you need to leave your dreams behind because whatever, right? That kills your inner child. And here I am making YouTube videos, going to the college of my dreams at 27 with a 5-year-old. Because, you know, I never really, you know, like, I allowed my inner child to do the thinking for me, and here I am. So, that, like, your inner child is so necessary to find joy in life and to, you know, really help you realize who you are at your core. So, unlocking your inner child, because your inner child will tell you, like, this is where you messed up at. I almost said a bad word. This is where you messed up. So, fix that. That's another good way to do it. It's a process. It takes a while. And in another video, I'm actually going to go over a really extreme... I briefly mentioned it in another one. But in another episode, another video, whether you're listening or whether you're watching, I briefly brought up the Dark Night of the Soul. And the Dark Night of the Soul is it's a point when your ego has had enough of being tucked away and you are, you know, you gotta take care of it. So things happen, life happens, everything happens, you get forced to be by yourself, you get forced to look at yourself and what you're doing. A lot of times freak things will happen, but believe it or not, a whole bunch of that stuff is self-inflicted and you don't realize it at the time. A lot of the negative stuff that goes on during Dark Nights of the Soul, a lot of it, like, it was like one thing that led to another thing that led to another thing that led to that big thing. But, you know, sometimes freak things happen, especially when your energy is not right. So the Dark Night of the Soul, and I'm going to go into more detail about this later. I'm not about to do this right now. I'm talking myself out of doing it. But the Dark Night of the Soul is, like I said, is basically where your ego's like, okay, I've had enough. You're about to deal with this and you're about to deal with it now. So, like, your life feels like it's crashing around you. Again, that does not happen all the time. Okay? That is not a thing that is required for this work. So, you can do this work as much as you want to. And to be perfectly honest, if you keep it regular, the frequency of these dark nights, I can't promise for everybody, but the frequency of the dark nights occur, in my experience, a lot less when I'm constantly doing shadow work. So, there's that. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, beefs, gripes, complaints, please shoot them in the comments. If you're watching my YouTube, like, comment, subscribe, share, click that bell for notifications. I'm totally here for you. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for listening if you're listening to my podcast. Thank you for watching if you're watching my YouTube channel. I love you guys. You guys are fantastic. And I will see you, or I will talk to you on the next one. Thank you. Bye. So today we're going to talk about what I probably should have talked about first, grounding. We're going to talk about grounding today. Grounding is super duper important. Chances are you do it in some way, whether you know about it or not. It's practiced all over the world, different nationalities, different cultures, different religions. Everybody does it. If not, they should, because it is super helpful.
Grounding is basically a process where you empty, not empty your mind, but you give yourself a clean slate to process your thoughts, your feelings, and your emotions, and bring you back center with your body. Sometimes your body can be out of alignment, and getting a grounding technique down can help you out with that as well. So it gets your body and mind clear and focused so that you can receive whatever messages you need to receive, think about what you need to think about, process whatever emotions you need to process, and get started on a good track to getting your body in alignment where it's supposed to be. Now, the science behind this is pretty simple. Our bodies are electric and the earth is electric. So by connecting with the earth's electricity and rhythm, it puts you in sync with it. It stops stopping to breathe for a minute, gets your mind clear, and you're able to, like I said, you're able to process things a lot better. So that's why you want to do it. You want to reconnect with the earth. You want to, in this day and age with all of the technology around and the cars and cement and everything else, sometimes it can be a little challenging to just put your feet to the ground and let nature do its thing. So we as human beings, being part of nature, we need that connection to earth. That's just what it is. So taking the time to do that, finding a way to do that, is super duper helpful, and it's going to help you out and get you on the right path. So symptoms, if you are not grounded, there may be symptoms that you may experience, such as, and yes, I'm reading from my book because, you know, it's a lot, so I'm not gonna lie to you, I'm reading from my book while I do this. Symptoms that you may experience if you are not grounded are dizziness, fatigue, feeling spaced out or being in your head a lot. You may experience poor sleep, meaning you might not get enough sleep, or you might take forever to get to sleep. You may experience inflammation in various parts of your body, high blood pressure. You may find yourself being forgetful or airheaded or spacey. You may have a lot of out-of-body experiences, and you may lose track of what you were saying. So I have been doing that a lot lately, so I need to get my feet into some grass quickly so that I can, you know, ground myself. So feet in the grass is actually one of the ways you can go about grounding yourself, and there are others. Deep breathing is a good way to do it. Like I said, feet in grass, going barefoot outdoors. You can actually put your feet in some sand, some water. It doesn't really matter. As long as it's an element of nature and it's in some way connected to the earth, you can go outside barefoot and enjoy nature. Sitting under a tree is really good. Trees are excellent conduits for the electric pulses that are flowing throughout the earth. Trees are excellent conduits of this. And a lot of traditions go sit by trees, or even, you know, they call them tree huggers. There's a reason for it. It's not just because they love nature. It's because they believe that you get downloads or you get energy or electricity from the trees by being connected to them. So, like I said, some cultures believe that you get downloads, but really, you know, I'm not going to say that they're wrong, because, I mean, you are getting downloads. If you're getting the answers to your questions that you're having a hard time getting because you sat under the tree, you're definitely getting downloads. But a lot of it, you know, science and spirituality kind of go together, right? So when you sit under that tree, you're grounding yourself and you're making yourself open and available to receive these messages. So next, if you're having a hard time getting into nature, let's say you live in a high traffic, highly populated area, and there's not a lot of nature that you can go to easily. They also sell grounding mats. You can find them on Amazon. You can find them, I believe, on eBay as well. But they're grounding mats. So you plug them in to your wall, and that part of the socket that's the ground part, it's actually connected to the ground. So you're getting the current from outside back inside. So you're still getting that grounding. If you need a grounding mat, you can use that if you have a hard time. I actually want to get one just because I'm kind of a homebody. And sometimes I just don't feel like stepping outside. But I feel like a regular dose of grounding is super important. So I might grab me one. There are also other ways to get yourself grounded. You can use crystals, herbs, foods. It can be a lifestyle for you. So I'm a huge fan of crystals. So, you know, I have a few crystals which help out with that. Some good crystals to use are hematite, onyx, obsidian, red carnelian, red jasper, tiger's eye, which is actually good for the lower three, not just the, the lower three chakras, which I may go into later, depending. But it helps out with a multitude of purposes. Fire agate, bloodstone, ruby, garnet, and black tourmaline. So that is by no means a comprehensive list, but that's a good list. So those are good crystals to use if you want to ground yourself. Also, like I said, make it a lifestyle. Maybe you want to eat more grounding foods. You can eat roots. Roots are good to ground for obvious reasons, right? They're like probably the most connected to the ground you're gonna get. So carrots, potatoes, parsnips, radish, onion, garlic, beets, those are good. Also protein rich foods, meats, eggs, peanut butter, things like that. Those are really good. As far as herbs are concerned, herbs and essential oils, I'm just gonna group those together because they pretty much work similarly. But if you want to use herbs for, I don't know, maybe you want to dress a candle or something, or you want to, you know, make some sort of arrangement, whatever you want to do, this is your journey. You can do what you want to, but, taking a good look at these things helps out a lot. So, you know, using essential oils and things like that helps. Some herbs that are really good for that are cinnamon, ginger, clove, turmeric, ashwagandha, which is an excellent ingredient for a tea. It not only helps you out with grounding, but it also helps out your reproductive organs. I'm not sure about men, but I know women specifically, it helps their reproductive system a lot. So ashwagandha it's bae. Also, vetiver, myrrh, and frankincense are really good essential oils to use if you want to ground yourself. Now, what I would recommend do, of course, test an area out on your skin first. Make sure you don't have any allergic reactions to it. But if you're going to use them, I would recommend using essential oils on your tailbone. You can find it. It's like right at the top of your butt crack. So if you take your finger and you guide it downward, like in between your cheeks, you'll feel like a bone stick out, and that's where your tailbone is. Just kind of massage it there. Please make sure you test these oils out first, because they can lead to allergic reactions if you're not careful. So or irritation. So please test them out first. But if you were to do it, I would recommend kind of a little bit, a drop or two on your tailbone, kind of massage it in, focus on that area for a while, picture a red light in that area, and that's a good way to ground yourself throughout the day. Just kind of focus on that area and see like a red light there. And that's pretty much it on that. I'm trying to like fly through this video so it doesn't last too long, but those are my grounding techniques, my info, and my take on grounding. If you have any more information or suggestions, requests, whatever, let me know. Shoot me a message, drop a comment, and you know, like they all say, like, comment, subscribe, and please share my video, because the more support I get, the easier it will be to make better and more amazing videos. So support, support, support. I love you guys. Have a great one. Bye.